CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. How are you today?
Hello.
You're on. It's good to see you, Phoebe.
Good to be here, Lala.
And, well, if you've never heard the show before, we're disappointed, but then also very, very happy that you're joining us today. If you can answer the question, am I a future CEO, then this is really the show for you. Phoebe, who are future CEOs, certainly in our mind anyway?
You know what? They're just ambitious executives or really entrepreneurs, no matter what scale they are in their business. And we're here to give them tools just to upskill them and to fast track their careers and grow their businesses.
Yeah. Some of you also may be in some form or fashion, maybe not entrepreneurial, but want to get to the corner office of that big business that
Absolutely.
You're sitting in. This is also the show for you. We've got a very interesting lineup today. So
Yay.
After the break, Dr. D, that's what you call him, Dr. John DeMartini will be joining us. He seems to be our resident expert.
A studio favorite, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think we may be his favorite. So that's after the break, where we're going to be talking about the fear of public speaking and overcoming it. How do you connect with an audience? So if that interests you, 9:30, that's what we're going to be doing then. But then today...
Yay!
I think we're honored. Is that the right?
Very much.
I'm trying not to laugh.
Listen to that voice.
Can I introduce him?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, so listen to this. Catch a Fire, Mandela's Gun, Drum, Beyond Borders, Hijack Stories, just to name a few films. TV star, top billing presenter, voiceover artist, motivational speaker, script writer, but most importantly, especially for this show, an entrepreneur. Welcome to the show.
My. Hello. How are you?
Dimisha Masha. We're so happy
Thanks,
to have
Phoebe.
You here.
So good to be here. You look stunning, by the way. I wish it was on TV. People could see you, because every time I see you, you have like this new, completely new look, and they all work on you.
You like it?
Like this one, it's just every single one is better than the last.
Is this future CEO material, guys?
No, sorry.
Sorry, Gareth, you're here as well, aren't you? I didn't notice you.
I was just waiting for some of those compliments.
I'm sorry. But no, you look fantastic too, my guy. What's going on? Who are you seeing today? Are you going on a date?
I just came here to see Libby.
You just came here from a date.
I wish I had.
Let's kickstart. Come on, let's get right. Okay. Let's get to it.
Let's get into this very quickly. You are a film star. You are an artist. You play in many different areas. Then you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
How do you balance all of this? How do you bring it all together?
Well, that's always been my thing, right? So when I was at drama school, I realized that I just like doing stuff and getting involved. It was always just a matter of trying to fit it into my diary.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, that will come at some point. Just do as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because I do everything that I do because I love it and I enjoy doing it. How do I fit it in? Well, I guess not sleeping that much helps. And I'm a night person, so I don't mind. So I can like stay up till late doing stuff. But I decided a long time ago that everything I do, I must do because I love it and no other reason. And if you do,
I like that.
You'll find the time for it, you know, if it's important to you.
So it all began at drama school. Take us back.
Drama advert.
Take us before that, Dimisha. We want to know where you grew up, you know, your upbringing.
Oh, okay.
Just the journey of your inspiration to becoming who you are today.
Well, I grew up in Pretoria. Well, I was born in Mamelodi. My parents moved in 1977 to Soshanguve because, you know, back in the day, you were allocated a house, right? So for like about 2 years, they built a zozo, like a one room structure in the back, and they were waiting for their house, which they didn't get in Mamelodi, which was really sad for us. So we moved to this new township. It wasn't necessarily glossier and fresher in those days. It was actually just more dusty because there was nothing there yet. And we arrived in this place called Soshanguve, and immediately I was like, this is not for me. I'm not feeling this. It's too far. And yes, I was about 2.5 years old, but I knew then it was too far. There was no electricity. There was no tarred roads. Fortunately, there was running water. There weren't like shops really and stuff like that. And the whole thing about Soshanguve that a lot of people don't know is that what the name is an acronym. It's So for Sotho, Sha for Shangaan, Ngu for Nguni, Ve for Venda.
Wow.
Right?
So that's Soshanguve.
So it encapsulates all the
languages.
And everyone had their own spot. So if you were like Nguni, like the Xhosa and the Zulu people and the Swati people lived in the G's. The Sotho people lived in the F's. The Pedi people lived in the L's next to the Venda people. So we were quite next to the Vendas, you know? And that was like, oh my gosh, because the Vendas at the time were like, oh man, this is the last scale, you know, you're at the lowest level. That's just like how apartheid was back then. But immediately after like moving into this place, then like moved to Garankuwa, you know. And for a while I lived with my aunt and uncle and my cousins, because my mom went to Fort Hare to start her medical degree. Fortunately, a couple of years later, she came back and we lived in Medunsa, which is the medical university of South Africa, basically. So we had a house there for the longest time.
I didn't know all of this.
Yeah, so I just kept going back and forth. Shoshanguve, Garankuwa. So she, depending on where my mom was working. So if she was working at the hospital, we'd go back. If she had opened her own practice, we'd go back to Shoshanguve. Mm. Otherwise, it'd be in Garankuwa. So it was back and forth.
How did all this back and forth and those early days then begin to shape your thoughts around what you were going to be
your
doing
future.
In your future? Yeah,
it's crazy because like two things, right? It just taught me about life is like this gypsy existence where you're just moving all the time. Like my whole life has been like just going to another place. Mm. So in between all of that, there was also starting school for the first time at WIPS, you know, which was like a life-changing experience, because there I am, 8 years old, can't speak English, the only black kid in the class. But it's always been about you're in a new place, now make it work. That's always so I like new things. I like new stuff. I feel like I lost my mom at a very early age. Not like she passed away, but like as a mother. So there were other women in my life who were my mother. So I was like, okay, in terms of relationships, you can make it work with anybody. It's cool, you know, just get a new one kind of thing. So everything is new in my life. Mm. And I'm just now only starting to get to a point where it's like,
but
settle,
I mean, I think that's
settle.
So reflective of just how crazy you are when it comes to your workspace. I mean, you're very active in everything that you do.
Yeah.
You're constantly doing more than 5 things at a time, Dimitri.
Yeah.
And everyone knows you about that. Mm. Do you think that's a reflection of just...
I think definitely, because I've always been doing like so many other things. So it's you're involved in this one thing and then you're involved in another thing. And, you know, the first time I actually did an acting gig was I was about 4 years old anyway.
Me too.
But I mean, it wasn't like a paying gig or anything, but that's when I knew this is what I wanted to do. The older kids, when I was still at the school in Garankuwa, the Standard 5 girls used to organize a wedding every year. So I did that 2 years in a row where I was the groom, you know, because I like playing the groom. And I thought, this is pretty cool. I get all the major attention. I get a new suit every year because my parents had to organize a suit. And like, I'm a romantic lead with this pretty little 4-year-old Chiquita who's playing the bride. I was like, this is what I want to do.
I want to get married every year forever.
Hopefully not get married every year forever. Sure. But that's not a bad idea, actually, because the wedding part of the marriage is usually the best, isn't it?
The best.
Yeah. You just got married, you know.
Yeah. It's not about me. Let's talk about your production company. Okay, mm-hmm. So you've gone through that as a child, and now you've decided you're an artist, you're a script writer, you've done the artistic side of things.
Yeah.
Now you want to do the entrepreneurial side of things.
Yeah, good question.
How did that happen?
I suppose, you know, a lot of my families, my relatives were entrepreneurs in their own way. I had an aunt who was the most amazing entrepreneur. She started selling peanuts, just literally selling peanuts in a place called Winterveld, okay, in Pretoria, which is like Deep Sluit or something like that, if you think about it. And she grew her peanut selling empire to like kites, you know, and she had a whole business going. My mom, even though she was a doctor, she's always been entrepreneurial. I had an aunt, growing up, like she had a shebeen in my grandmother's house. So that entrepreneurial spirit has been around. And I always thought, yes, this 2-year-old, 3-year-old, like there's a shebeen going on. That's why I always tell my wife, like, I can sleep through a party. I had to learn to sleep through a party, right?
Well, I mean, I like the play as well, of course, which is the entrepreneurial spirit or spirits, haha. But the idea that there was always this business side to everything. I mean, entrepreneurship is now a bit of a vogue term,
yeah,
I guess, that we associate with ourselves. But there were these business fundamentals that were then spinning in the background. You've not pulled some of those through. And I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. Talk to us about a little bit of that.
What
journey.
Does that mean?
Hey? Yeah, yeah. Some of the lessons that you've learned. What,
I suppose, what's it been like you just said, it's a nice fancy word we like to throw around. But at the end of the day, it started off as I just need to make more money than what I'm making now.
Correct.
And life is about you have to have four streams. I believe it's a biblical term. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, Adam had four streams with which to refresh himself. That means that he had four places to go and get cash. We have to do that as humans. That's just how it is. So I was always like, when I do this thing, I have to understand. First, I wanted to make a business out of this whole entertainment industry.
That you love so much.
That I love so much. Mm. Then I realized that maybe, you know, having a business is not necessarily about what you do already or what you love. It's about what do you see, where do you see there being a gap? And if you can fill that gap, that's a business. So we kind of moved from being this business that wanted to do events and productions and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And one of the things that stopped us was we just had a different business model. We didn't want to do productions where we get commissioned and then lose the IP. Because that for me is not business. That's you're just a production. You manage a budget.
You're a cog in a wheel.
You're a cog in a wheel. So I always say that we don't have a lot. If you're a producer on SATV, you're not a producer.
Mm.
You're just like someone who manages a budget. Being a producer is knowing how to sell a particular production, knowing what it is that the audience wants, which is your customers. And at the moment, if someone gives you money to do something that you'll never own, it's just based on an idea that someone else came up with. You're not a producer. You're just someone who gets a budget. And then from there, you try and make as much money out of it as you possibly can and give them a tape, whatever that is.
And I guess also the lesson here is that that can really then undermine your ability to, A, give a really high class level of service.
That's true.
Perhaps also you're just then in it for that one.
You're in it to make that little bit of money that you can. And
very narrow
and hope that you get the job again next year.
Yeah.
Which is really not producing at all. Producing is how can I maximize what I have, do the best out of, get the best people for the job, as well as make sure that we make enough money to keep doing this next year, you know?
Mm.
And it's unfortunate. It's no one's fault. It's just the way legislation we are in this country. Hopefully it will change. I think the Minister of Arts and Culture right now, Natim Tato, is very keen on changing that, which is cool. And the idea that now we have like 80% on SABC3 has to be local content. That means we all have an opportunity. You know, I mean, Libby, I know you produce as well.
Let's talk. Tell us about mistakes that you've made earlier on in your career or right now to make sure that you know, through the trajectory of where you wanted to be, but you learned from them.
I say this, you know, you actually, if you're not learning, if you're not making mistakes, it's that simple. I remember one of my earliest mistakes.
Tell a story.
I'll tell you a story. I was in my second year of drama school at WITS. And I'd taken on a play, and I'd taken on another side play, and I'd taken on, I don't know if it was some other gig outside of it, you know? And I wanted to do all of them. I really did. But it was starting to stress me out time-wise. And it was stressing out the directors. Because when we started out at WITS, you know, being in an environment that is academic, the idea that you've got to maximize anything didn't really occur to most of us. And I was learning that lesson at the time. Because what I realized initially at WITS was everyone was there to be an auteur, to be a thespian. Mm. And like, you know, we'll rehearse this play for like 6 months if we have to, and we'll work day and night. And it wasn't necessarily the most efficient use of people what you have in your hand in terms of what you can use. So one director got very upset with me and was like, you have to decide and make a commitment. You're either here or you're at the other thing. And I remember at that moment, my mind just said, big choice time. You have to decide who you are at this point, and don't be afraid, even if you let someone down. And I said to her, well, then I decide that I'm always going to be doing this. And if you can't be cool with me doing as many productions as I can, learning as much as I can, doing what we're here for, right? Then I guess I don't have to be part of your production. And I learned that day that actually life is about maximizing every minute of the day.
Love that.
And sometimes we get caught up, and when you're an entrepreneur, you need to understand that you have limited resources, you have limited time. time.
Yeah, time is the ultimate resource.
Time is the ultimate resource, right? But you have to make the best of what you got and forget about this thing of trying to make these fancy things that no one is actually going to buy. A lot of the times that's where you start as an entrepreneur. You're like, if you're doing crafts and I see you wearing beautiful beadwork, you say, I want to make beads out of Swarovski crystals and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the day, like one of those, you know, the armband or just the necklace alone will probably cost like 20,000 rand. You're out of the market because someone who can afford something for 20,000 will probably want to buy something from Tiffany's and Co.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Or Jenna Clifford. So they won't be trying to buy stuff from you as a startup. So the best thing is to start making something that is affordable. So maybe start it at 200 Rand or 2000 Rand and then move up until you get to that point. And that's what I learned with that lesson, that life is not about trying to spend as much time doing something, like especially when it comes to what we do as in the arts. You know, we just don't have those resources. We don't have Hollywood money to shoot one scene in one day.
We don't.
So and maybe that's a good thing because we don't need that.
So as an outsider here, because of course you guys are on film and doing that kind of thing, there is potentially a perception that can be had that certainly artists anyway are here, which is high above the rest of the world. How have you...
Let's laugh. Yeah.
We're certainly not. We're just like, we're the weirdos of the world. We're the ones who got left behind.
So they're definitely... Well, maybe not you, Tamisha, but Phoebe. it's a joke. It's dry humor. So again, this perception that there may be this other world that you guys live in. How do you balance that perception potentially with the reality that you're in, plus then add an additional element, which is your brand walking into a room versus the brand of your business walking into a room?
Geez, that's deep, eh? That's a good question. I don't know. I think that the way to balance it, I mean, Tlubi, you can help me at any point. Just feel free to jump in, okay? When you think about it, first and foremost, when you start doing this art thing, you are like ethereal and you're in the sky and you're in the stars. Then you realize that actually it's the nitty gritties and the everydayness of it, it's really not all glitz and glam. It's about just getting to work really early, doing what you can to finish the day, and then doing it again tomorrow.
And sometimes your days, I know, Luby, you've come here after 12, 18 hours on set late night.
Yeah.
So it's not all glitz and glam.
Yeah, definitely. So it's just about getting to a point where you realize that, number one, for those who need it, give them, what's the word I'm looking for? Give them this persona, give them this brand that makes them believe. For those that don't need it, just get down to the brass tacks and let's talk business.
Correct.
A lot of the times it's about, let's just get there, let's just make this happen. And also realizing that you still are just yourself. Like right now, when you talk about when you walk in and you're the brand, and I used to suffer from that a lot. You know, I used to suffer from, what do people see? And I have to match it up all the time. And then I did this movie, Mandela's Gun, you know, where I kind of had to like grow a beard, which I think I'm going to do again soon. So I'm in between doing this other role where I had a beautiful haircut and everything was hunky-dory, and now I have to grow my hair. And you know, in the middle of that stage, there's just that it's just not working stage. But what I learned from that was, as an artist and with what I do, I'm going to be different people all the time. So, you know, aesthetically, I might not match what you had in mind when you see me, but what I must say, what it must be about, is really what I'm really about, which is, number one, I am about my art. I am
You're
about
creative,
what I do.
Yeah.
I'm a creative.
Completely.
So when it comes to doing a role, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to do whatever it takes, you know. But when it comes to business, I'm going to do the same thing, but it's not really about the look. It's really about what I can put in.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What do you contribute your success to, Dimitri? Give us three characteristics.
Oh, work ethic, hard work ethic. You know, I guess growing up, around my parents, they were really cool in what they instilled in me. I really have a lot to thank from them, because there wasn't really an option when you know, back then. And what my dad always said, which like still rings true to me today, is like, look, dude, hard work. This thing about hard work, people make it like it's this amazing thing. It's like, if you don't work hard now, you're just always going to work hard your whole life. Look at the people waiting for the taxi. He said, like, look at the people who are standing on the side of the road waiting for a taxi at 4 a.m. to get to work. And then you come back home and the same people are standing waiting for a taxi at 7 p.m. Do you think they don't work hard all day? The difference is they probably did not choose, and taking aside all the socioeconomic issues we have in this country, but they probably did not choose to work hard initially. If you just work hard at the beginning, then you can avoid working hard later.
What's the quote? Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can do what others can't.
That's right. And so my thing was always, and it still is that, where at the beginning of something, give it your all. And if you really work hard enough at that, at some point it will be easier, you know.
So we've got hard work.
And smart work. So work hard and work smart as well, because you can't just work hard all the time. You'll just burn yourself out. So also go for the low hanging fruit. A lot of people, when I started out in business, I didn't understand that term.
What does that mean?
For example, I was in, our business was events. I had a business with my brother. Okay. So we wanted to do the big events. We wanted to do the summit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if someone came to us and says, listen, I've got my husband's 40th birthday party. Can you do it for us? And we'd be like, no, we're not that kind of business. So for about 5 years, we didn't get any work.
Yeah. Great point.
Because we were like, no. We are up there. We're going to be the most amazing events company in South Africa and the whole world. And it's like, you got to start somewhere, baby. And somewhere usually means just getting those enough 40-year-old parties right, so that now you can go to the next level. But no one's going to give you the sermons.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, go on. That's what I learned as well. Low-hanging fruit.
Number three.
I've got two to go, hey?
Okay, cool.
I don't know, shucks. Number three. Number three is...
look at the time.
Yeah, I'm looking
no,
at the time.
No, we want you to stay the... Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
But so much to go. Okay, talk.
Okay. Number three is balance. So understand that you can do everything. And you really can. Like, once you realize, I can do everything.
You can actually do anything
then,
and everything.
Then you can do everything and anything. Okay. We have this thing of, like now I've just got a baby girl. She's 10 months old.
Yay.
So balance is, I'm going to spend time with her. Yeah, I'm so, thank you, Jesus. But the thing is, right? I was always like, how am I going to make this work? The thing is, she sleeps mostly from 8 in the evening. That's when I can do a lot of stuff. During the day, she's most awake. Mm. Now, if I work really hard, either early morning or late afternoon, the rest of the time, I'm with her. So it's not about, oh, I'm just, you know, daddy's so hardworking, never has time to see her. If I can just see her for 3 hours in the day, pick a time. Anytime, it's obviously when she's awake, that's when I do it. So that's what balance is for me.
Well, I can't remember who it was, a CEO that I did an interview with, which wasn't on air. He said exactly this. He just said, commit an hour a day. In your case, you've said 3 hours a day to this, to that. And then suddenly you find when you...
It's doable.
When you're down the road, it is suddenly doable and you are balanced, actually.
Exactly.
In fact. Maybe goodbye. Two last questions.
Okay, mentorship.
Oh, mentorship is very important.
Yeah, talk to us about really that. Who's your mentor and what's the best advice?
My mentor right now. My father's always been my mentor and he still is. Other mentors that I have.
Do you mentor Timisho?
I mentor quite a number of people. So I'm struggling with finding my own mentor. I haven't had a mentor for about a year. I'm looking forward to finding another mentor soon. Alright, Sluby's going to be my mentor. Is he available? especially life coaching. Really, I'm struggling.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk. So you said that you do mentor people.
I do, definitely. Okay. I think that's really important. I enjoy it. It's not even like, oh, I must look for someone to mentor. Because that's what's the other thing, right? We make this thing so massive. And it's not. It's just having someone who hangs out with you every now and again. And you just talk to them.
Correct.
And you just put stuff into them.
Correct.
You do, like, that's what my dad did with me. Every time we had time together, he would, like, give me some life lesson. At first I thought, oh, this guy doesn't stop. But now I'm like, thank God he gave me all those life lessons. Because that's what I draw from now. That's all I draw from. That's it.
I like this idea that there is definitely a difference between mentoring and coaching. A final then question before we part company and welcome our other guest in.
Oh, I need to really go because I want to listen to this.
Tamisha's looking out the window here. If you could go back.
We love
and
this
you
question.
Could say just one thing to the 20-year-old you, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say to myself, go out there, give it your best shot, enjoy it. And then finally, while you're out there enjoying it, start creating mini little systems in what you do so that you can be more efficient and you can get further, quicker.
Great advice.
Not major things, but just keep doing what you're doing. Just create mini little systems, though.
Great. Yeah, structure it. Very nice.
Structure it. That's it.
Thank you very, very much. Tamisha Masha.
Yeah, you know what, Tamisha, friend, you just make things so much more attainable. I mean, some people just think that their dreams are so out of their reach and they give up.
They're very attainable.
You know, and so, and they give up so quickly. And you know, it's a long process and it's a long road. So thanks for just putting it into context and making it attainable for even for me. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you. And just lastly, is like just reading books and listening to people like your next guest really make it easier.
Well, so we love you. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you for your insights, Tamisha. You. All right. Up next, we are going to be joined by Dr. John DeMartini, a future CEO's favorite. He'll be talking to us about this fear that there is around public speaking. We will see you right after this.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.